If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
Yo, what's up? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Wednesday, November 15th, 2023. I'm one of your hosts, Blessing, Addy Oye Jr. Joining me is the Nitro Rifle, Andy Cortez.
Good morning, Blessing, Addy Oye Jr.
Happy 10th anniversary to the PS4.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, it's wild.
Man.
And it doesn't feel that long ago. That's the crazy thing.
Takes me back to closing up shop at Best Buy one night when all the customers are gone and you're just restocking stuff on a Sunday night. And that was the night that it was being revealed. And then I went home and I listened to the Verge cast because I was really big into tech at the time, obviously, and I still am. But I was listening to the Verge cast with Nilay Patel and Joshua Topolsky.
I don't know if the Verge cast is a good name for a podcast.
I'm on the Verge.
the Verge cast.
And then that's the first time I remember hearing the voice and being introduced to Justin McElroy, because he was working for the brand new Polygon site at the time. And Justin McElroy was getting all mad at everybody on The Verge and being like, "What? It's video games. Why aren't you all excited about like more video games?" And they're like, "Yeah, but they're just video games that look a little bit nicer." And he's like, "Come on, y'all." Like, man, that night will constantly stay in my head. Yeah.
Yeah. See, for me, I think about listening to Podcast Beyond because I'm pretty sure it's weird because it's hard to like track, but I'm pretty sure that was the year I started listening to Beyond because I want to say I started listening because of Last of Us and Bioshock Infinite, and those were out the same year, which is also crazy to think about. Because like Last of Us 1 feels like it came out forever ago, but the PS4 feels like it came out yesterday to me, but they came out the same year. But yeah, like I remember listening to like getting started listening to that and then getting hooked, especially around the time the hardware was coming out and being like, yo, I need every single update. It was also GTA 5. Like 2013 was a wild year because beat for beat, it was like the most exciting game and then like, or most exciting games and then the brand new consoles. And
it was a great year.
It was also the Xbox One and like the slip ups they made at that E3 and like the whole battle of, oh man, the PS4 is about to dominate this thing because of all the DRM shit for
the
Xbox.
The shoe handshake.
Yeah, the shoe handshake.
God, oh, yeah,
it was everybody being like, oh, Xbox is done. We're never going to see them again. Yeah. And then they bought Activision.
Yeah. They're doing okay over there.
Comes full circle.
Last night, Bless, I had one of those. Am I just going to lay in this bed and play some Steam Deck for an hour and a half or so? Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what happened because I finally downloaded. It's very, very tough for my phone to understand what I was saying because I would talk to it and I would say, how long is Chance of Sinar? And it would think I was saying like Chance. Like, is it like Chance the Rapper? Yeah. And it never, ever gave me a good result. But I finally downloaded and bought Chance of Sinar. Chants. Sinaar.
What's funny is that
it sounds like you're saying Chance though.
Yeah, but how else would you pronounce it? Yeah.
What's funny is that you were spelling Chance. I thought you were trying to spell Sinar, and I was like,
no, you're not close, Andy. You're not close.
I was like, you're way off.
Yeah, because I mean, Barrett, I tried. I was going like, how long is Chantus? I was like, on my fifth or sixth attempt, it was just never working out.
Because I was looking up a trailer for it to pull up, which I'm about to do right now, and I looked it up and spelled it as Chance as Chance the Rapper.
I should have maybe just said Chant of Sinar, and maybe that would have popped up. Yeah, but it is, I was like so close to immediately texting you, but I know that like you knock out a little bit earlier than I did, so I didn't want to wake you up. But it is a puzzle game where you're just a dude in a robe. And I've seen like, I've seen Lucy James tweet about this. She's like, man, this dude in the robe is cool. And I've heard the Besties podcast talk about this as well. And you're essentially just, you're trying to figure out what's happening in this world while trying to learn people's language, the language of this world. So you might have,
it's like Tunic meets Journey.
You'll see, but like the whole point of it is the language. And you'll see some guy be like, he'll point at you and then he'll like make this thing and then he'll walk and then it'll pop up and you're like, well, maybe that means follow and maybe that means you. And then you'll see another kid who says like, You found me, and it's like, oh, now you was popping up because I inserted that into what I believe is in the, like, I open up my little dictionary and my little glossary that I'm now kind of filling up and assuming, well, maybe this word means door, maybe this word means unlock, and it is immediately kind of mesmerizing. You get kind of just sucked in immediately.
This was nominated for a game award, right? Is this like best debut? Games for Impact. That's what it is. Yeah, I've heard people talk about it. I think I want to say I heard Lucy James talk about it. And I've had a couple of people say that, like, this is my kind of game. And you came in and you, like, beeline from my desk and you're like, yo, this game chances Sinar. And so now I'm like, fuck, all right, this is another one I got to put on the list to try. Because similar to you last night, I was in bed with my PlayStation Portal. Mm. And I was like, all right, like, I think I'm going to keep playing more Sea of Stars because I'm really enjoying Sea of Stars. But, like, over the weekend, I had a moment where I forgot my PS5 existed. Because I was playing so much PlayStation Portal, and there came a moment where I was like, okay, I need to charge this thing. Let me charge it by over here, which is not really convenient to hold it.
I can't play the game.
Yeah, that's like, exactly what happened. I was charging it, and I was like, damn, I really want to play Sea of Stars, but my PlayStation Portal is charging. Like, I guess I'm just going to do something else. And I was like, it hit me like 30 minutes later. I'm like, yo, I can just play on my PS5. Like, my PS5 sitting right there. Mm-hmm. I had a similar moment. It was a similar, like, you know, dumb brain moment for me last night where I start remote playing my PlayStation at home and I'm wanting to continue my save from Sea of Stars. But then I realized that where I left off of Sea of Stars when I was playing at work, I didn't leave off on a save point. Like, I basically got to a moment after a big sequence and we had to come record a show. And so I put in a rest mode and I was like, I'll come back and play it and get to the save point. I never did that. And so when I booted up remote play at home and I was remote playing my home PS5, I was like, oh no, this is way before what I wanted. And so I guess I'll just play when I get into work tomorrow. And I put away my PlayStation Portal. I started to fall asleep. And I was like, as I was falling asleep, I was like, I could have just remote played my PS5 at work. Like, that is the whole point of remote play. That it doesn't fucking matter which PS5 I'm remote playing. But yeah, dude, like, there's something different about just having a handheld thing and being able to play like a small indie game on it. It just hits different.
The Steam Deck totally reawakened my love for handheld gaming, mostly because I've never liked the positioning, and you try to get comfortable in bed. I just was never a big fan of it. But having these small little experiences, these bite-sized experiences you can have right before bed. Here's an hour and a half, you know, maybe not stimulate the brain too much. Yeah. I'm not trying to play Sekiro or something like that.
Playing something while horizontal just hits different.
Yeah,
when I'm like laying in the couch on the living room and I'm just like, this is different. It just feels great.
I'm so close to, like, I want to buy a really damn good gaming laptop and have it in bed with, I want to get one of those little cushions that you put over yourself so you can kind of have your rest your keyboard and mouse. Because I want to just play Baldur's Gate at night and just lose myself and suddenly look at the clock and it's 3:30 in the morning. But I want that experience as opposed to, like, you know, I'm always sitting at my desk or standing at my desk at home because I uplifted my life. But I really want that sort of in-bed laptop experience.
Let's also uplift today's news, because today's stories include Last of Us HBO might have found its Abby, Super Mario RPG reviews are in, and more, because this is Kinda Funny Games Daily, each and every weekday at 10 a.m. live right here on youtube.com/kindafunnygames and twitch.tv/kindafunnygames. We run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. If you're watching live, you can correct us when we get stuff wrong by going to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong. If you don't want to watch live, you can watch later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, or you can listen later on podcast services around the globe by searching for Kinda Funny Games Daily. Remember, you can use Epic Creator Code KindaFunny on all Epic Store and Epic in-game purchases like Rocket League and Fortnite to help support the channel. To be a part of the show, head to kindoffunny.com/KFGD to write in with your questions, squad ups, and more. And remember, patreon.com/kindoffunny will get you the show ad-free, plus a bevy of bonus content. Housekeeping for you, a new Kinda Funny podcast is up right now, and it's a next-gen podcast takeover. Me, Roger, and Barrett are hosting the show, and we asked you guys to send in voicemails with your dumb stories. Let me tell you, this is a top-tier episode of the Kinda Funny podcast. I never thought I would be able to do it, you know? Like, I'm on the KF podcast rarely. And right. I feel like when I make my appearances, usually it's a skeleton crew in here. Usually it's like, oh, snap, all right, Kinda Funny podcast, it's me, Greg, and Tim, and we're just kicking it, you know, having a good time.
Right.
This is one where you know, I think Roger did the damn thing. Because he came to us, he was like, guys, I got an idea. I want to do a voicemails episode. I want to, like, get people to call in and, you know, react to what they have to say. And I was like, all right, cool, that sounds fun. Barrow was like, you sound dumb as hell, Roger. It's never going to work. He didn't say it like that.
But I just thought it in my head.
He thought it in his head. But like, this episode is, I think for me, my favorite episode of the quote unquote Kind of Funny Next Gen podcast. But I also think a top tier episode of the Kind of Funny podcast. It's a really fun time. And then also, you can still get Nerf Alice's iconic shirtless Spider-Man as the premium collector's item this month. That's the shirtless Spider-Man t-shirt. You can get yours at patreon.com/kindoffunny. Thank you to our Patreon producers, Jackson Hampton and Delaney Twining. Today brought to you by BetterHelp, but we'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. It's time for some news. We have seven stories today.
A baker's dozen.
Starting with our number one, The Last of Us Season 2 has a new top Abby, actress contender, says a report I'm pulling from Paul Tassi at Forbes. Now that both the writers and actor strikes are over, everything can get back to production. And that includes The Last of Us Season 2, which will start up in January 2024 before a release much further down the road. The central question about Season 2 has always been who will play Abby, the season's co-lead, given the events of the second game, opposite Bella Ramsey. Now, a new report from Jeff Snyder, Routine Industry Insider, says an actress is poised to win the role of Abby. That would be Caitlin Dever. Or Dever. I'm actually not sure how to say her last name. But Caitlin Dever. I forget what the movie was that I've seen her in. I think it might have been Booksmart. A development I would find sort of wild. This is back to Paul Tassi at Forbes. Given that all the available actresses, she seemed like the most dead ringer for game Ellie.
Yes, Booksmart, you're correct.
Booksmart, hell yeah. And she even did a table read for the role. Snyder says she attracted fresh attention after her recent alien horror film, No One Will Save You. So what is the argument for Dever's casting outside of this report? And then he bullet points it. She has a similar complexion to Abby. She is one of the few dozen people co-showrunner Craig Mazin follows on Instagram. She would already be familiar of those working on the show if she's already read for Ellie. She's 26, but looks younger, and Abby is supposed to be in her early 20s. And then while she does not have Abby's size, she and everyone is bigger than Bella Ramsey, who is a tiny person, which sounds like a roast of Bella Ramsey. But I don't know, like, Andy, I don't know how familiar you are with Caitlin Dever, but is this something that, is this one that you saw yesterday? Is this one that caught your attention?
I'd seen a lot of other reports, like, maybe around last year, where other actresses were being named and kind of rumored to have either auditioned or, as what we're seeing here from Paul Tassi's report, Instagram kind of tells all. And there's a lot of moments where people would say, oh, Druckmann just followed this person. Craig Mazin just followed this person on Instagram. So there was a lot of like people kind of stirring up rumors.
Yeah,
I'm not familiar with this person's work, but I am completely I completely believe in Mazin and Druckmann's ability to cast people for these roles. They know what they're doing. They know who's going to best portray these characters that they love and will be writing for. So you said you saw her on Booksmart. I know about this alien movie looked a bit too scary for me. I've seen it kind of on TikTok, people talking about that No One Will Save You alien movie. Mm-hmm. Alien movies is just a little too much for me.
I feel that.
I can't do that.
I mean, Joy Noelle, when this news dropped, she dropped it in KFGD, our Slack channel, and then she said she's so good in Dope Sick and Unbelievable. This would be great.
She's a movie bro, yeah.
Yeah, and Joey's a movie bro. And, like, you know, I really liked her in Booksmart, and I really liked the movie Booksmart. It's a fantastic movie. But I'm down for this. It is kind of uncanny when you look at her because she does look so much like the video game version of Ellie in a way where I'm like, oh man, I would have loved to been in those rooms when they were deciding, like, okay, well, Bella Ramsey is great, but also Caitlin is like, it is striking how much she looks like Ellie.
Yeah, it might have been like, I do wonder if when she was doing those reads of just like what she was bringing to Ellie didn't quite fit for Ellie. And then they kept her in mind because that's just how it shakes out sometimes, you know?
Yeah. And also, like, I think there's something to be said about the star power of The Last of Us and how, like, I do think when you have the stars being Bella Ramsey and Pedro Pascal, like, there is like a level of, oh damn, but like, you know, this is a duel right here when you're thinking of star power. And for Abby, right, I was expecting somebody else who has that similar level of, okay, you know them from X, Y, and Z thing. And I think Caitlyn brings that to the table. And also, like, I'm excited to see her in this kind of role, because again, for me, being somebody who's only seen her in Booksmart, like, she brings more of a, like, she doesn't bring an Abby energy to that role. It is more of like a little bit of a goofy, like, laid back kind of thing, right? Like, she's a bit understated. But here, as Abby, you kind of have to be a bit more ruthless and aggressive.
That's awesome and exciting, because they must have seen something in that audition where she has to maybe conjure up this intensity,
yeah,
and this like kind of anger in certain scenes while also kind of having to be this leader in other scenes. I don't know. That's pretty exciting. I mean, we got to bring in the Chris Hemsworth, the nutritionist, and just get this lady jacked up.
Yeah. Fun fact, someone reminded me in chat, because I did remember that, I remembered this from a few years ago. She is a certain character in Uncharted 4, A Thief's End. You can take
really?
Yep.
Interesting.
You can take a second to think about it. It's very obvious.
That's
too,
wild. But, yeah. I never would have put that together.
And for people saying in chat that she's not much taller at all than Bella, look, you could put lifts on people. How do you think Tom Cruise and Robert Downey Jr. have been dominating the industry?
Oh, my God.
Why do you think Greg towers over the rest of us, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Why do you think nobody has noticed that Kendrick Lamar is 5'5"?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Larger than life.
But yeah, this is exciting. I'm excited to see what season two has to offer. And yeah, I'm excited to see what it takes. Like, that was my thing. When they first announced Bella Ramsey, like, Bella Ramsey wasn't somebody in my mind where I'm like, oh, that's Ellie right there. But then she played an excellent Ellie.
Yeah.
And so we'll see what Caitlyn brings to the table. For now, moving on to story number two, we got a Super Mario RPG review roundup. Right now on Metacritic, it is sitting at an 83. On OpenCritic, it is sitting at an 85. Tom Marks at IGN gave it an 8 out of 10 and says, Super Mario RPG is considered a classic for a reason, and this wonderfully faithful remake makes it easy for anyone who missed it in the SNES era to see why. It's unabashedly odd, reveling in the unexpected, with writing that constantly had me bursting out laughing at jokes I'd heard a dozen times before. Its turn-based combat is fairly simple outside of its very clever boss fights, but it's also ultra satisfying to keep your timing string going, even when you're plowing through pushovers. And while the updated graphics are equal parts pretty and sort of unambitious when it comes to interpreting the original style, with some unfortunate menu lag, the new takes on excellent music are truly exceptional. Super Mario RPG already held up pretty well if you didn't mind a bit of dust on its different systems, but now there's no excuse not to see why Mario's most unexpected adventure is still so beloved. Kyle Hilliard at Game Informer gave it an 8.8 out of 10 and says, much of what has changed about Super Mario RPG for the remake beyond the visuals is behind the scenes. The pace is brisker, and my hour count, even after beating the big optional boss, came in lower than the average playtime of the original. The game has been tweaked only slightly to add some new mechanics and make the adventure even more welcoming than it already was. The result is an experience that only shows its age slightly and rewards longtime fans and newcomers alike. And then Christian Donlin at Eurogamer gave it a 4 out of 5 and says, the game that kicked off Mario's RPG adventures retains its charm in this cheerful remake.
You gonna get to this?
I want to. Tim's been hyping it up in the office. Like, he did his preview earlier. And like, even before that, like, I was sitting at my desk and he came over and he showed me how it looked on the Switch, and it, like, the art style of it, while when he was showing it to me, looked better than what I had seen in the trailers.
Now, the OLED, granted.
Yeah. That's the thing. It's the Switch OLED. But I think even with that, I saw the original trailers and I was like, okay, well, this looks very polished. This looks how, you know, how it feels like Nintendo has a design bible for what Mario needs to be. Mm-hmm. It is round, family friendly,
inviting.
Like, Mario kind of has had this polished look for what feels like decades. I thought that was going to get in the way of the charm and like the art style of what I want out of an RPG, right? Like, if you want to do that for a sports game, cool. If you want to do that for like new Super Mario Brothers, all right, cool. But like, I don't know if I want to play a full-on RPG with that kind of polished art style. When Tim showed me the game on his screen, on his OLED screen on Switch, I was like, yo, this actually looks really gorgeous. Like, I actually really like how they're interpreting a lot of the Mario art style here, and it makes me want to try this out. I think eventually I'm going to get to it. The tough thing is, we're entering into a new season, You know, like
it's on the horizon.
It's on the horizon.
The farmers are out there with their crops and they're like, oh, you know, the you could feel it in the air right
now. The smell in the air is slightly changing.
The smell in the air is slightly changing. The groundhog has come out and we're entering into JRPG season. And so
the gaming groundhog.
Yeah. Ooh, yeah. I like that. The GG.
He comes out with just like a little bag of Cheetos. Next
the G, yeah. The GG comes out with some Doritos and a Mountain Dew.
Yeah, yeah.
But we're entering into JRPG season. Right. And like, I'm kind of kickstarting this for myself because I've been playing Sea of Stars. And I really want to keep playing Sea of Stars. But, you know, I'm playing that right now. Mario RPG is about to come out. Yakuza, the man who erased his name, is out. And I'm not going to play that, but I know many Yakuza fans are. But then as we get into the new year, dude, we're talking about Persona 3 Reload. We're talking about Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, right? Like, we are entering into an era where it is turn-based RPG, JRPG, Persona and, 5 and, Tactica.
Tactica just came out. The other Yakuza game,
yeah, Infinite Wealth,
is coming out like a week before Persona 3 Reload. RE Fantasio later in the year, also from the Atlas
Star
team.
Ocean R just came out as well, too. And like the tough thing about JRPG season compared to regular review season is that these games are long.
They take longer because you have to wait to do stuff.
Yeah, like, you know, you got to press a button. It's like, okay, well, I want to hit him, so let me open up a menu that opens up another menu. Yeah.
Usually they're long. Let me heal first, real quick. Story.
But, but Barry, think about the amount of time you got to wait to hit attack.
Oh,
button.
But think about the amount of time that you took.
Do you like Sea of Stars?
You gotta apply that fucking splint.
Think
on your
about
ankle.
The amount of times you took to like beat that boss.
What Jeremy you playing? Where you're applying a splint? You're describing Metal Gear Solid 3.
I did also. Want to mention that I got tagged in a tweet with Tim the other day talking about, remember how we were wondering who the hell is making this video game? It is Studio Arte Piazza, and they also worked on a lot of Dragon Quest games on Nintendo handhelds, specifically 4-6 on DS and 7 on 3DS, because we were always wondering who the hell
is
working on.
Is that a Square Enix team?
No, they
if
are
they
not.
Work, if they made Dragon, or I guess they just worked on it.
They're just like a third-party studio, I'm assuming. I thought, you know, we were wondering.
So
like
not Grezzo.
We were wondering, no, it is not Grezzo, no.
Yeah.
But Z's in the name.
Art Piazza. Yeah, they work on a lot of Dragon Quest. I'm on their Wikipedia right now. I'm trying to see.
The number one kind of.
It's on their Wikipedia, Sumar RPG.
The thing everybody was coming away with was like, oh, no wonder the game's good, because they've shown in the past, you know, that they are always a studio who's going to make quality RPGs. Yeah,
they worked on Romancing Saga 3 and 2.
Mm.
Probably one. I don't see one on here.
That sounds like a book that you buy at CVS that's next to Sparkling Waters.
They worked in 2006. They worked on Innocent Life, a futuristic Harvest Moon. Whenever like I bring back the You're Wrong game for like our trivia stuff, where I had to make up like random games, and you guys have to guess which ones are real or not, I'm going to have a fucking blast.
I hope I remember this one.
Because, like, Innocent Life, a futuristic Harvest Moon, like, y'all will have no fucking idea.
No shot.
Dragon Quest V. Arrow of Laputa. They worked on a game called Rikishi, which is a wrestler.
He would always sit on people's faces.
Yeah, Rikishi was a wild wrestler.
Yeah, yeah.
That, him, and it was Tajiri, the one who would, like, spit, this poison in your face or whatever.
Yeah, you'd go blind, you'd go crazy.
Bring back the attitude.
You'd start to hallucinate.
God. Are you going to play this Mario RPG?
No.
No?
Not enough time.
Fair enough. He also hates turn-based.
Not enough time. You got to wait.
Do you hate all turn-based? Like, is there a turn-based game that you love?
No, I don't hate all turn-based, but.
What's your favorite turn-based game?
Pokemon.
Okay. You hate turn-based.
I mean, yeah, it's probably that. I know Baldur's Gate isn't the traditional turn-based type game. It's not just two people standing there, you know
this
what I mean?
This comes back to,
you
like,
you have to wait your turn to make an action.
This comes back to my pitch for the Game Awards, where, you know, best action adventure, just combine them into one thing, and then take best RPG and turn it into best turn-based RPG and best action RPG. Because I feel like on the turn-based side, like, it's not even just your RPG. I think a Baldur's Gate and a Sea of Stars are more similar than a Sea of Stars and a Lies of P. Still, like, different genres.
Eliza
I still
P's so good, huh?
Lies of P is fucking excellent.
What a good game.
God, I hope it wins.
I've been having a good time gathering a bunch of assets for our GOTY graphics whenever we do our Game of the Year podcast, which will be next year. Mm-hmm. But I've just been, like, gathering all the stuff for the back walls, and like, things are starting to look really sick.
Let's go.
I'm very excited.
I hope Liza P makes it, because that's gonna look real good on the back wall.
Oh yeah,
on the front wall. Moving on, to story number three. I want to do a little bit of a live reaction.
Ooh.
Because a new trailer dropped yesterday that I've still not watched yet, that Roger was hyping me up on. And I was like, okay, let me get around to it. I never got around to it until now. Pokemon Concierge gets a December premiere date. I got a quick thing from Adam Bankhurst at IGN where he writes, Pokemon Concierge, Netflix's upcoming stop-motion series that takes place at a tropical resort built for Pokemon to relax and have fun, will premiere on December 28th, 2023. Netflix released a new trailer alongside the premiere date, and it is an adorable look at the series that is giving us vibes of a more wholesome White Lotus. Barrett, if you can bring up the trailer.
My name is Haru.
They got a cool stop-motion animation style. Welcome to the
place.
Our job is to take care of these Pokemon and ensure they enjoy the resort.
Barrett,
in other words, you'll be the Pokemon concierge.
The Pokemon resort? I can't believe I'm actually here.
This is fun.
Wait, Karen Fukuhara!
Yeah, holy
boys.
I felt so relaxed.
From Callisto Protocol.
I want you to make the Pokemon feel the exact same way that you do.
The Pokemon don't exactly tell you what makes them happy. I have no idea what I'm supposed to be doing.
Oh, it's that lantern Pokemon.
It's like a wholesome robot chicken.
Well, most humans won't say it to your face either. They say things like...
Just because it's claymation. Yeah. Just because it's not motion.
All claymation is robot chicken to me.
I automatically default to claymation even though it's not clay.
Right?
Bam.
Look at Mudkip.
This is Mudkip. And the yellow one is Pikachu. No, I mean, it's Psyduck.
This is cute.
Oh man, what a cutie.
She's on a Dragonite. Got Psyduck rolling down a hill.
Describe for the audio listeners.
Yeah. Is this all Gen 1 and Gen 2 Pokemon?
Fun day at work.
No, I saw that Lantern Freak. Those little monkeys.
Welcome
too.
But it seems like they're doing a lot of Gen 1 stuff, which I'm down for.
I wonder which Pokemon we'll meet today.
I feel like Psyduck might low-key be an underrated Pokemon. Psyduck is cute as hell.
Chastity has been saying it for years, man.
You mean one to take the, like, one that needs more of the spotlight?
Yeah.
Sort of thing.
Because I get that Psyduck's not Pikachu or Eevee. Psyduck might be getting close to up there with Eevee. I feel like Psyduck is cute as fuck.
Here's the thing. Psyduck has to have felt very, very... kind of offended by Pokemon trying to shove Togepi down our throats back in the day. When Togepi was coming on, they're like, hey, this is the next cute one that you're gonna, everybody's gonna fall in love with. And Psyduck's like, homie, like, I was
like,
promised
right
stuff for season.
Yeah.
Like, what the hell, you know?
Because what? Well, Misty owned Psyduck, right?
Maybe.
Right? Am I crazy or was it like Team Rocket?
No, Psyduck was Misty's Pokemon.
Was it Misty?
And then
like Misty,
also Togepi. Was,
yeah, Misty also. So yeah, I could see the scenario as Psyduck where... It's like when your parents have a new baby and you're like, oh, I don't have any, like, the attention is not on me anymore.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck? Like, I'm still here. Yeah. I still have needs. I can see Psyduck being in that scenario, except Psyduck, there's not a thing going on behind those eyes.
Oh, not at all.
There's not a thought going on.
Psyduck was promised to get playing time next year. And then they drafted a new quarterback that is Togepi. And Psyduck's like, all right, well, I'm going to request a trade. Like, I'm going to take me to Digimon. What happened to that one 3D animation movie where they remade the Mewtwo story?
Oh, that came out.
Yeah, but like,
did people like it
more? Like, I wanted more because I loved that art style.
This
was during
really
the pandemic.
Good.
It kind of blew me away in terms of like reimagining what this Pokemon world looks like in a 3D art style. I know it wasn't a lot of people's jams, but I freaking loved it, and I had a great time watching that movie, mainly for the visuals. And then I thought we were going to get more from that studio, more from that distribution, and it just kind of went away, and that bummed me out.
I will say...
Look at this.
Because, yeah, like, this art style
is
incredible.
This came out?
Yeah, came out, like, 2 years
two,
ago?
3 years ago, yeah.
Yeah, it's been out for a while.
It was fine, but it was mostly, like, I just wanted to see it because of how awesome all this Pokemon looked.
Yeah, it reminds me of the Lupin the Third movie that came out a few years ago.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that one?
Absolutely.
God, so beautiful.
There was a tweet, I want to say it was from Jess Howard. I think it was from Jess Howard. If not Jess Howard, now you're the one that made this tweet.
Okay.
Somebody on Twitter was like, you know, if we're doing all this IP stuff anyway, like if we're in this era where everything has to be IP anyway, then yeah, like let's have fun with it. Let's get weird with it. You know, let's do some weird shit. And I think, yeah, like this Pokemon Concierge series on Netflix is not what I would have expected out of a big IP like Pokemon, where you already have an anime, you already have like, yeah, the Mewtwo art style, and like Detective Pikachu and all this other stuff you're doing. It feels like they just keep adding in new ideas and new styles of animation, and I love it. Like,
this is the,
I think it's so cool.
It's the mystery dungeon of Pokemon TV shows.
Yeah, where it's like, how did we get here?
Yeah, why are we in this genre?
Why are we playing pinball right
now? I'm down, yeah.
You know? But yeah, I'm all about it.
Very cool.
I'm also all about patreon.com/kindoffunny. Over on patreon.com/kindoffunny, you can go. You can get the show ad-free. And speaking of ads, let us tell you about our sponsors.
This episode's brought to you by BetterHelp. This time of year can be a lot, and it's natural to feel some sadness or anxiety about it. I can't even count the amount of nights I lose sleep because I just can't stop thinking. My brain just won't stop talking. Therapy gives you a place to do that so you can get out of your negative thought cycles and find some mental and emotional peace. And it can give you the tools to find more balance in your life so you can keep supporting others without leaving yourself behind. Some of my best friends use BetterHelp and love how helpful it can be for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapist anytime for no additional charge. Make your brain your friend with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/kindoffunny today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/kindoffunny.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
And we're back with story number 4. Wonder Woman job listing suggests it may be a live service game.
Stop this!
This is Chris Scullion.
Stop this!
At Video Games Chronicle.
Enough!
God damn it!
Fucking learn a lesson, for God's sake! Look around! Read the room! Nobody wants this shit!
It's so sinister, and I kind of like it. You know? Let the world burn. Yeah, make it live service and make it battle royale too. This is gonna be like fucking 101.
Jesus Christ. I don't want a battle pass!
Give me a battle
pass. I don't
want
a new fucking little skirt or something!
But like, what if you can like unlock different color whips? You know? Or lassos. Sorry. It's a lasso of truth. Yeah.
I'll be playing it on PC. I'll get the mod that lets me do that.
What if you can get a green lasso once you hit level 5, but once you hit level 10, red lasso?
What if I take the retail disc and throw it at your fucking neck right now?
You're not going to get a disc. It's going to be digital only.
You're right.
You know this. Again, this is Chris Scullion at VGC. A new job listing for the upcoming Wonder Woman game suggests it may have a live service element. As spotted by WCCF Tech, the new job ad is for, quote, lead software engineer gameplay at Monolith Productions, and makes it clear that the role will involve working on the Wonder Woman game. Quote, join the Wonder Woman team and help bring an iconic DC superhero to life, the listing reads. While the job requirement lists the typical experience expected from an applicant looking to work on AAA games, one of the qualities in the nice-to-haves section refers to live services. Specifically, the listing says applicants may have the edge if they have experience helping maintain a live software product or game. Although it doesn't conclusively confirm that Wonder Woman will have a live service component, were it to do so, it wouldn't be a great surprise. It would also line up with the comments made last week by Warner Brothers Discovery CEO David Zaslav, who said the company was focused on turning its biggest gaming franchises into live service games.
David Zaslav, please take a fucking shuttle to the moon and never come back. Stop. You have never touched a controller in your goddamn life. You don't care about video games.
Thank you. What's going on? Greg Miller's here. What's he doing?
Go.
Shooing me to leave.
Go.
Oh, God.
Greg Miller's shooing
away.
Are you
fucking kidding me? Are you fucking kidding me? You're going to show this Wonder Woman trailer. You're going to get us all hot and bothered. Tell us we're finally getting a DC superhero fucking video game after all they want us to do is play fucking bad guys forever. And then you're going to put up a job posting about goddamn live service motherfucking bullshit. Did you not learn your lesson with the fucking Suicide Squad, WB? Shut the fuck up. Don't do this to yourselves. Don't do this to your fan base, all right? Suicide Squad, dead on arrival. I don't care how many fucking podcasts you do or little vlog things you do. It's over for you. It's done. This is your chance to be a reset. Experience helping maintain a live software product or game. Nice to have.
Like, Greg, this sounds like they're going to decide to make it a live service game maybe like 2 months after it comes out. Like, yeah, it'd be cool if we could make it a live. Like, look around. Look at what's happening to the industry. Look at all of these development studios trying to make it in this space and immediately failing, getting shut down before games even come out.
You better pray to God.
How many fucking Wonder Womans are going to be running out there?
The multiverse of Wonder Woman. You better pray to God, Monolith, audience, anyone who's ever been touched by DC Comics, that this, you know, maintain a live service product or game is just patches for things we've broken. This thing didn't work right. Hopefully. We need to patch it. We need to put it out there. Because if there's a fucking battle pass for this, for Wonder Woman.
Greg Miller exits the building, everybody.
While this is going on, they did premiere more Suicide Squad gameplay. That's,
Oh, that's the homie.
Yeah.
Green Lantern.
I was really hoping to see how long it was going to take for you to say something.
I was going to try to say his actual name, but I was like, I don't know any of the Green Lantern names. There's like 15 of those motherfuckers.
I know there's
there's John Stewart because, you know, The Daily Show.
Yeah.
Yes, I believe that is
John Stewart.
John Stewart. Yeah. I was going to say John Diggle to make fun of Samoa Joe's in this game.
Yeah,
Joe's the King Shark.
Oh, you're right. He is King Shark. I forgot about that.
Or we called him like right before he was allowed to talk about it or something. And then they announced it. We're like, oh, that's what he was talking about.
Here's my thing with the Wonder Woman news. Because somebody was in chat being a troll and saying, blessing me jumping to conclusions, as if I wrote the article. I'm just here to relay the news. And I was going to start this saying like, hey,
hope this isn't true.
Maybe this isn't true. Like, not even that this isn't true. Maybe this is them future proofing for a future game. Like, I think there's a, the job description thing job posting thing is so loose because oftentimes job postings come up because somebody just left. And so like, if they just lost somebody who does have experience in live service and for WB, like their future being, hey, we want to have more live service games. Like, this might not be for Wonder Woman. This might be for whatever comes after Wonder Woman and them future proofing for, hey, we want to have people that are skilled in this because this is the direction our publisher is going. I think that's very much, a possibility, and that's probably even more likely. But yeah, I also wouldn't write it off that Wonder Woman is being eyed for what this live service thing is.
I'd have way more faith in from your point of view had David Zaslav not come out with that.
Yeah,
we want more games in the live service space. I'd have way more faith that the Wonder Woman game is going to be a single player standalone campaign story game, as opposed to a live action something where you're leveling up your character a whole bunch. And my Wonder Woman has this hat that I bought in the store. Well, mine has this cool pocket watch or whatever. Like, if David Zaslav never came out with that statement, I would believe in the good of video game developers and video game publishers. But I'm losing losing a lot of faith.
I think the reality of it is like, no matter what, I think the Wonder Woman is going to have some sort of post-launch microtransaction type thing. And this is me going off of Monolith's previous game, because they made Shadow of War, and Shadow of War came under fire for that exact thing. So I wouldn't doubt in a world where, yeah, Dave Zaslav just came out and was like, hey, yeah, we want to do this. We want to focus more on life service stuff. I think Wonder Woman, even if it comes out as a single player action adventure thing, you're still going to be probably buying different lassos.
And we know that this isn't this isn't the end of this. Like, we aren't reaching the tail end of this publisher trying to innovate in that space, and or not necessarily even innovate, but trying to kind of make more titles in that space. And all it's gonna lead to is just more layoffs. Mm-hmm. And that's the part that is so fucking predictable and so despicable, that they're still trying to go into this space that has not had much success at all this year. Like, a majority of the layoffs, I would say, are from games that were trying to get into the games as a service space, where you're buying a monthly thing, or you're getting the battle pass, or you're trying to level up, and there's a new boss to take down, or a new campaign, or whatever. And we've seen what results. We've seen the results of this before. We know what's going to happen, and it's going to be 3 months after this game, after Suicide Squad comes out. Mm-hmm. You're going to hear about,
oh yeah,
you know, 80 employees at wherever have been laid off. 90 employees here. Like, it's just like, it's not hard to make the right decision. We saw, I thought everything was turning around. I thought the industry was turning around when Respawn decided to make Jedi Fallen Order and had massive success. I thought that was the turning point. Mm-hmm. I thought that was the industry learning and saying, like, holy shit, you can have success if you make a really sick ass single player game. And then we somehow reverted back to this same bullshit.
I think as we, like, for where we're at right now, as we've gotten all these layoffs, as we got a lot of games that are usually successful in the space come through and like start to drop in those numbers, as we've gotten like Destiny, right, and like Destiny 2 kind of under delivering for at least what their projections on it were going to be, I think we are going to see some people turn and go, oh shit, like, right the ship, like, we can't do, because even what, 2 days ago we had the story about Remedy and how they're working on their free-to-play thing. I don't know, Remedy is a different beast because they are independent, but they're publishing that game via Epic. Like, that was an example of them, and they said this in their thing, hey, we looked at the landscape, we looked at what free-to-play is right now, actually we're not going to make this free-to-play game, we're going to work on a premium co-op title instead. That's what we're going to turn this into. There's been talk about like the PlayStation stuff and them like delaying half of their games and service games that are slated to post their FY25. I think that is also a reaction to, hey, if we're going to do this, we got to make sure we do it right. And also, hey, let's maybe take our time with this a bit more. I think that's a good sign. I think that allows them to read the room once they put out a Helldivers 2, once they put out a Concord or Marathon, and then go, hey, is this strategy working? No? Okay, let's go back. I think you're going to start to, I think we're already seeing failures in that realm, as like we've also talked about so many games shutting down between Rumbleverse. I know Multiverses didn't technically launch in 1.0, but Multiverses going away and then maybe coming back. And the list of Knockout City, the list of games that have shut down over the last couple of years, I think there's been enough of those where there's going to, like, everybody who's making a live service thing right now is at a fork in the road of, hey, continue and stay the course because we're already far along and we gotta keep doing this thing, or everything's tumbling down right now, let's shift our plans and actually work on something that is either single player or premium, or not chasing after the trends. Because I think chasing after the trends is where you're seeing the failure off of all these things. And like, when chasing the trends stops being feasible, when it stops being profitable, you gotta find a new trend to chase, or you gotta like fall back and go, hey, what can we make that actually works, and people, what can we make that people actually want? And so,
and talented devs get laid off, and the people making the decisions still keep raking in that dough. I was gonna look up, because you bringing up Remedy also reminded me of, like, oh yeah, Crossfire X. And I'd kind of forgotten that game got, you know, shut down. And then I bring up the wiki and immediately I read Crossfire X, in the past tense, by the way, was a first person. Yeah. And I'm like, shit, never mind. Yeah, that got shut down in February of this year. One of those Remedy projects that.
Well, they made the single player. I think somebody else made like the actual like multiplayer component of
it. No, it was Remedy.
Was it Remedy that made Crossfire X in totality?
That's insane. They did. They were working on the single player as well, which was, I believe, just called like Crossfire or something like that. I'm seeing Smilegate Entertainment.
Because I thought
Crossfire, it was a whole like partnership. Yeah.
Oh, Remedy worked on the game's two single player campaigns, which are also available on Crossfire HD, which received generally negative reviews.
Yeah,
because
I remember Mike
critics.
Talking about it, being like, this is not good.
Yeah, he said it stunk. Yeah.
But yeah, and like that's why I'm glad, because Remedy, you know, we look at Remedy, we're like Alan Wake, Control, like, you know, well, maybe not Quantum Break as much, but like we look at Remedy and we're like, this is a fucking great studio, and like zero L's. They have taken L's, right? I think it's those L's that allow them to go, all right, cool. Let's pace ourselves, because we have the luxury to do so, because overall we're independent. Obviously we have our partners that we're working with and we have to abide by what Epic wants out of this project. But, you know, I think they do a good job of reassessing and trying to figure out what is actually working and what is not working. So I think when they partner with that studio and make a Crossfire single player that sucks, they then go, all right, let's try not to do that again.
But like, that's the one for them also. Like, that's what I always saw these projects being as.
This is going to make us money.
That's the one to bring in money to help us fund the thing that we want to make, you know?
Yeah. Moving on. We're going to keep talking about video game numbers with story number 5. Spider-Man 2 and Mario Brothers Wonder topped the U.S. game sales in October. This is Tom Ivan at VGC. Marvel Spider-Man 2 was the best-selling game in the U.S. in October, while PS5 was once again the leading console platform. Sony's PS5 exclusive claimed the top spot on the monthly software sales charts ahead of Nintendo's Super Mario Bros. Wonder, which was released on the same day for Switch. According to Circana, formerly known as the NPD Group, analyst Matt Piscatella, Spider-Man 2 is the fourth best-selling game of 2023 year-to-date based on its launch month dollar sales, which exceeded those of September 2018's Spider-Man by a double-digit percentage.
Wowee.
While Mario Brothers Wonder charted at number 2, this was based on the game's physical sales alone, as Nintendo doesn't provide digital sales data. I got the top 10 for you that I'm reading off of GamesIndustry.biz. At number 10 for the month of October, you got Hogwarts Legacy somehow. Still hanging in there.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. At number 9...
I mean, you got to assume with Black Friday, that's going to keep on popping up.
Oh, dude,
too.
Yeah. I mean, it also just came to Switch. And, I've had friends where... I had a friend that was like, oh, yeah, I want to play this Hogwarts game, but I'm waiting for it to come to Switch. And I was like, you sure you want to do that? Like, I don't know if the game's going to run as well. But, like, they're not that big of a gamer.
Sure.
They just have a Switch, and they love Harry Potter.
Yeah.
Sure. And so a lot of people are going to pick it up for Switch. Sonic Superstars comes in at number 9. At number 8, we got NHL 24. At number 7, UFC 5. At number 6, we got Mortal Kombat 1. At number 5, EA Sports FC 24. Above that, we got Madden NFL 24. At number 3, and this is the U.S. charts. At number 3, we got Assassin's Creed Mirage.
Oh, good for Assassin's Creed.
Good for Mirage.
That's shocking.
Yeah. At number 2, Mario Brothers Wonder, and that's just physical. And then at number 1, we got Marvel's Spider-Man 2. Cool.
A lot of money being made out there.
Now, I'm clicking into the top 10, because, like, I remember when I pulled this, there was, like, one that was, like, number, like, 20 or so that surprised me. Yeah, Lords of the Fallen was number 20. And Lords of the Fallen came out...
Digital sales not included for Lords of the Fallen.
Okay. That's a good call out.
It has that asterisk right there.
Because I was going to say, Lords of the Fallen came out like earlier in October. And so also, I thought it would have been higher given that. But yeah, not digital sales.
Damn, Elden Ring at 15.
Good for Elden Ring.
Wowee.
And Metal Gear Solid Master Collection Volume 1, number 12.
Forza Motorsport, number 17. And that's his debut on the top charts. Jedi Survivor is still hanging in there. You know, Starfield.
I got to assume Jedi Survivor is going to get another big, similar to Hogwarts Legacy, this big sort of holiday push as well.
Yep.
Minecraft. If you had asked me, I would have told you Minecraft was free.
That's a good call. Yeah, it's not a bad call.
Minecraft being on the top 20 is insane. We still buying Minecraft that?
I think we bought good several copies when we were doing trying to do our Minecraft streams.
I'm pretty sure I've accidentally bought Minecraft
days.
Sometimes. Like, I definitely owned Minecraft on an iPad or something like a decade ago.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah.
You cross a toll road and you accidentally paid for Minecraft as well.
Yeah. Moving on. Story number 6. Barrett, it's going to be okay. That's what I'm going to start off with. It's going to be okay, Barrett. Persona and Yakuza could be adapted into movies, Sega says. This is Ryan Dinsdale at IGN. Film adaptations of Sega franchises like Persona and Yakuza Like a Dragon, Yakuza slash Like a Dragon, I should say, are a possibility, the company has said. Speaking to CNBC, Chief Operating Officer Shuji Utsumi said Sega is looking to continue the success of the Sonic the Hedgehog film adaptations by growing the reach of its other franchises too. Utsumi mentioned Persona and Yakuza / Like a Dragon specifically when talking about which other franchises it could expand, making clear Sega is considering several potential different areas of business to bring these IPs to. Quote, "We just revived Sonic in a big way. Not only..." I'm going to stop him there and say Sonic was never fucking dead, Sega. All right? You can't revive
him. Somehow Sonic has returned.
They killed him, remember?
It's not... They tortured him. They kidnapped him.
Spoilers, dude.
Jeez. Well, the Sonic Forces. Nobody's going to play through Sonic Forces. I played...
No, I'm talking about the murder mystery where they
Oh, you're right. They did kill Sonic.
Yeah.
The death of Sonic.
Yeah.
J. Hedgehog.
Sonic's been through it, man.
Was that this year or was that a game last year?
That was this year.
Damn.
Did I... Oh, man. Should I have put that in my Game Awards nominations? Best narrative. So the murder Sonic the Hedgehog.
I'll put, you know what, for you, I'll put it on the back wall.
Sick. Okay, appreciate it. That's it. Fuck
just,
it.
There's just a great image of just Sonic laying down dead.
So, yeah.
Yeah. There you go.
In the Yamcha pose.
We just revived Sonic in a big way, not only through games, but also movies and TV shows. And actually, Sonic is in Roblox too, Utsumi said.
I like that statement. And actually, yeah. Roblox too. Have you seen that?
Yeah, have you heard of this Roblox game? Sonic's in it now. And we're working closely now with Lego. So Sonic is reviving. Again, it was never dead. It's always
on the
here.
Third day he rose again.
You made Sonic Mania in 2017. Sonic's
ascended
alive
into
well.
Heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father.
We have other major IPs, and I cannot say too much about it, but we are thinking of reviving other classical Sega IPs too. Right now, there are two big IPs other than Sonic. One is Persona, and also our Yakuza titles. Yakuza is really unique, but that big one is also coming next year too. But also, as I say, we are trying to be in a lot of different kinds of business areas, like Roblox.
What's that big one?
They're Infinite Wealth. The big Yakuza game is coming.
Is that the one where you're like on vacation
yeah.
in
Hawaii.
America?
Yeah. It's Hawaii yeah. or Ichiban. They have the mode, that's Animal Crossing.
Okay.
Not to be confused with the one that just came out. They're releasing two Yakuza games in 3 months.
Yeah.
And they just released one at the top of the year, too.
Same with Persona games. Tactica and now Reload coming out in 3 months.
And good for them. I may put it in my Game of the Year list, even though I'll never play it, just because the other night, Ray Narvaez sent me a raid, and he was like, we were all just crying playing Yakuza.
Oh, yeah.
We're all just full of tears in our eyes, and I was like, wow, good
the
for
thing
you,
I
man.
Keep seeing from Yakuza is screenshots of people doing, like, I don't know what it is. It might be a dating minigame or an escort thing, but it's like live action women.
Oh,
is like the thing I keep seeing pop up with people sharing game. And I'm like, what is this game anymore? You know what's going on here?
Mm-hmm.
The last thing he says is all these IPs can be somewhere else other than games soon. Here's what I'll say, Barrett, that's gonna upset you, but it's a dose of reality for you, for me, for Persona fans everywhere. It's gonna be live action.
No, I know that.
Yeah.
That's the thing. And that's the, like, no matter what it is, I think Persona in movie form just wouldn't work. Like, they've tried it in anime, and even in anime, where you can have multiple episodes and, like, build out all the stuff. Like, they're not great. Like, the Persona 4 anime was actually, like, probably the best adaptation, but that's only because they got really weird and, like, goofy and shit.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't see that IP being something that could thrive in that kind of medium, no matter what it is, whether it's animation, CG, live action, whatever. It's just like a lot to do in like a 2-hour kind of format. I do see Yakuza working in like a movie format.
That's the thing,
though.
Is a live action Yakuza movie,
does
that
sound
actually
good.
Sounds fire.
Yeah.
I think that is going to be a good time. The Persona movie, I think, is going to give us the energy of like either a Death Note movie,
it'll be
live
like
action.
It'll be that, or it'll be,
or
like
it could be
metal.
One Piece.
I think it would be really difficult to pull off the silly segments that Yakuza loves bringing in live action.
Mm-hmm.
I think
it would be a lot
movie,
of trimming the fun stuff, and it would just be focusing on the drama.
But and so much of the spirit is also in the fun stuff, which is why I think that like, hey, screw live action. Let's do similar to what's that new? Oh my god, it's number one on the Netflix list right now. The Samurai, Blue-Eyed Samurai.
Blues, yeah.
Like if we were to see any sort of game franchise take that art style and try to make a big hit of itself on Netflix or on one of these streaming sites, then especially for something like Yakuza, you don't have to omit your silly side. I think involve that and it makes sense, but live action, some things just don't translate, you know?
And the thing with Persona is like half of that game is you building your social links with people, you building the friendships and bonds with the rest of like your party members or other people in like whichever town that you, and there's just like no way to do that.
But I think that's
medium.
The stuff that gets skipped over. I think
no,
that,
and I know, and that's why it's not going to be good.
Yeah, and I agree. Like I think they're going to try and make it happen because Persona is a profitable IP, and like what happens with very popular, very profitable IP is you go, what are all the other ways that we can do this? You know, I think them seeing all the
how
success.
How can we make more money?
Yeah, I think them seeing all the success off of Sonic makes them go, well, our two other biggest franchises are Like a Dragon and Yakuza, so naturally we're going to take this to film form. Sonic was live action. And honestly, you know, Sonic is a pretty good live action movie. Not my favorite. Like, I think it's a strong, I think the movies are strong, like, 7s out of 10. Maybe Sonic 2, I would maybe put at an 8 out of 10.
I was going to say, you can already go watch the movie right now on YouTube from Yakuza. It's from MK Ice and Fire, who puts all the cutscenes together.
But like, I think the thing with Sonic is that if you asked me about 2D Sonic, or like, not even 2D Sonic, if you just asked me about Sonic the Hedgehog, the video games, and went, hey, they're going to make this into a live action movie, I'd be like, how the fuck are they going to do that? Like, what do you do? And they figured it out. It's not, again, my favorite adaptation. I think that's probably the what could happen with a Persona. I think they could figure it out. They adapt the story. They adapt whatever metaverse, or maybe they do an original thing. But like, it's gonna be that they're gonna find a live action way to do it, and it's either gonna be decent or bad. Yakuza, I'm more on the side of, I think Yakuza is a bit easier than we're giving credit for, just for the idea of that art style for Yakuza is more on the more realistic side. Like in Yakuza, the games do have a goofy energy, but like they do it all within that same sort of realistic art style. And I think you could pull that off in live action. I think it could be one scene. It is like an action thing where somebody gets into a street brawl, and then the next scene they go into an arcade and some goofy shit happens. All right, next scene, crime drama. The scene after that, hey, we're going bowling. Like I think you could do dumb shit like that to make it work. I envision it like an Edgar Wright film, you know? Like, hey, make it fun action, quick, like give it style. But also like, yeah, inject the drama in there. I think that could work. And I think that could actually be a really good movie. I think the Persona movie is a task, and I think it's going to be weird. I think it's going to be off. I don't think it's going to give us all the same feelings that we get out of a Persona, but I also think that I was like, that's already foregone. Like, I think we got to throw that idea out the window and just take it for whatever it's going to be. Let's move on with our final news story. Story number 7. CD Projekt is working on a mod editor for The Witcher 3 Wild Hunt. This is Tom Ivan at Video Games Chronicle. CD Projekt has announced that it's working on an official mod editor for The Witcher 3 Wild Hunt. The mod editor, which is in development for the PC version of the game only, is expected to launch next year. Quote, we're thrilled to announce that we're working on a mod editor for The Witcher 3 Wild Hunt. How many times can I say mod editor? CD Projekt said. It'll allow you to create your own experiences in the game by making something completely new or editing existing quests and content. We're planning on releasing it for free in 2024. I look at you, and for some reason, I think you're like the biggest Witcher person, but I feel like we've had this talk before
and you've not played
The Witcher 3.
Yeah, I've only played like maybe 6 hours of it because it just came out at a really bad time when the re-release happened. So I have it on PS5 and PC, but yeah, it came out kind of when I was like back home and I was trying to stream it from back home, but it just wasn't a great experience. One day, I've always said that The Witcher 3 was my island game. Like that's going to be the game that I hope to play for the rest of time because I know just how big it is. But I feel like I dig it. I mean, after the 6 hours that I played, I was like, ooh, I'm getting really, really into this. And then something else came out, and I never got back to it.
Yeah. I don't know why you give me big Witcher 3 fan energy.
Dragon Age, possibly. You know, but medieval type things, you know. Making decisions.
He also just looks a lot like Henry Cavill, you know.
I do look like Henry Cavill. A lot of people say that.
You guys are like twins, yeah.
Hank. Old Hank.
But cool. This is good news for people who play on PC. This almost feels like, man, I would have loved to see this like years and years ago. This feels like so far out, like far after the release of the game to add something like this, but it's still cool to see support for a game that is what, 8 years old? Because the original came out in 2015.
Yeah, it's interesting to see like when I first saw this news story pop up, I just assumed it was going to be, hey, we're going to let you, you know, tweak visuals and, you know, replace 3D models with whatever other 3D models. But the fact that CD Projekt Red is working on something to help you make new or edit existing quests, I think is like really cool, and shocking. Yeah.
Give this to me for Cyberpunk. I want to see what people will do with Cyberpunk.
Yeah.
We have breaking news before we move on. This was a tweet from Larian Studios. Xbox players, we hear you're looking for more news on Baldur's Gate 3. The game is on track for a December release. We'll see you at the Game Awards for the world premiere of the exact release date. How much money do you want to bet that the exact release date is out now?
Yeah.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
You wouldn't tease anything like that unless you were super confident. Yeah. I think that'd be so sick.
Well, Game Awards is only a couple weeks away. But a couple of weeks is just so far away. If I want to know what's coming on to Mom and Grop shops today, where would I look?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every... Actually, let me read it as Alan Wake. Mm. The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform as listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily show host each and every day.
I can't do it as Alan Wake. Out today, we got American Arcadia for PC, Teardown for PS5 and Xbox Series X. That's one that I've been wanting to try forever. That's like the game where you do it. It's like a voxel-based game with a lot of destruction where you're doing heists. I saw a trailer for that, I swear to God, like 5 years ago or something.
That was one of those... check out my game, I'm a dev on Twitter type games. Yeah,
and it looked really cool, so maybe I'll check that out. The Last Faith for PS5, Xbox Series X, PS4, Xbox One, Switch, and PC. Ascent of Ashes, Early Access for PC. And then Nahul Books, Dungeon Master for PC. New dates for you. Dungeon Drafters console version launches March 14th, 2024 on Xbox, PlayStation, and Switch. And then The Thaumaturge, delayed to February 20th on PC.
Gonna Google.
I'll just be making up game names, man.
Thaumaturgy is a word, but I just assumed that's how it was spelled. Thaumaturge.
Did they like do the thing where they like flip through a dictionary, paused on a page, and then pointed to a random word, and we're it's, like, it's we're naming our game that?
Very likely.
Because where do you find that word? I've never heard of that word
in my life. It's a D&D sort of, it's a very like fantasy based thing. It's purported capability of a magician to work magic or other paranormal events, or a saint to perform miracles. It is sometimes translated into English as wonder working, but thaumaturgy is kind of like the...
Thaumaturgy.
Yeah, I think I've seen that in Baldur's
Gate,
actually.
It's like blacksmithery, but for magic.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Exactly.
That's a word I made up. I don't think blacksmithery is the way to say it, but... Deal of the day for you, PlayStation Plus Premium / Extra Games for November 2023 have been revealed. You're getting Teardown. Oh, cool, Teardown's on PlayStation Extra. Too bad I don't have it anymore. I just have the bottom tier. Dragon's Dogma, Dark Arisen, Mobile Suit Gundam, Extreme versus Maxi Boost On, Dead Island, Riptide, Superliminal, hell yeah, Ayuden Chronicle Rising, Nobunaga's Ambition, Taishi, Alternate Jake Hunter, Daedalus the Daedalus the Awakening.
We're gonna go hunt some Jakes.
Yo, Jake's out there. We gotta go fucking
Jake
get him.
Jake needs to go down.
This is all one title. Alternate Jake Hunter, Daedalus the Awakening of Golden Jazz.
No shot.
That doesn't even sound... Let me copy and paste that into Google, because that doesn't sound real.
Someone trolling you? What's going on?
No, yeah, that's the whole name. Barry, can we get footage of Alternate Jake Hunter, Daedalus the Awakening?
You're going to need to give me a minute, sorry.
Yeah, it's all good. I'll drop the title and assets for you, so you can copy and paste it.
River City Melee Mach. Match? Match?
Well, I mean, was it with a H or a...
It's M-A-C-H.
That's Mach, like
it's
Mach 5.
It's like Mach 12, but like I've never seen Mach... without a number next to it.
River City, Melee, you know what I mean? Mach. And it's 2 exclamation points, too. Which worries me.
I just assumed you were really excited, so you typed that in like you were stoked about it.
Oh, yeah, that's the exact name. Yeah, River City, Melee, Mach.
Cool.
Grandia, up. Right now, Barrett's showing footage of Alternate Jake Hunter, Daedalus, the Awakening of Golden Jazz.
Hey, my name is Jake.
I mean, kind of a cool art style.
We got to hunt the Alternate Jake.
You're talking to NPCs. It might be a visual novel. I'm getting visual novel vibes. I'm not seeing one thing of gameplay. There's also a fast forward button, so this is for sure a visual novel.
I love this photograph in the background.
This is a really good art
style. Changed into put little Photoshop filter put on that.
We got Jet Moto, Klonoa Fantasy Reverie series, and then Parappa the Rapper 2. Now it's time for kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong, where you write in, let us know what we got wrong, as we got it wrong, so we can correct it for those watching later on YouTube and listening later on podcast services around the globe.
I don't do it there.
All right, Greg did not delete the ones from yesterday, and so we're going to skip through all the grateful stuff. I guess maybe he did, but this person wrote in with the grateful thing late.
Grateful?
Yeah, it was a whole thing yesterday where grateful. We were talking about somebody had the username Grateful Dread, and Greg was like, oh, they're not spelling it like Grateful Dead. But then, no, actually Greg was like, wait, is this how Grateful Dead spells it? And we're like, yeah. And they're like, why are we spelling grateful wrong? And then it took him a second to realize that that was the spelling of grateful. Yeah.
Are you talking like A-T-E or?
A-T-E, yeah. He thought it was G-R-E-A-T.
Ah, so, okay.
Yeah, innocent mistake. I'm not mad at it.
Full of great.
Cyberic says there already was a Yakuza movie based on the PS2 games called Ryu Ga Gotoku. And there's more.
Thank you for that.
It was made by Takashi Miike. My skill in reading Japanese words can only go so far before I'm like, hey.
I think you always do a great job.
Yeah. Like, I'd rather, yeah. Like, I don't want to, like, mispronounce things to the point of, like, okay, now it's a problem. Like,
yeah.
I don't want to come off like I'm, like,
give up after one.
Sonic fan says, in Sonic 06, Sonic was shot in the chest and died.
And then he got kissed and resurrected, and he turned into Golden Sonic.
The human kiss brought him back to life. And then he goes on to say the kiss was
a dreadful franchise.
The kiss was bestiality and necrophilia, is what Sonic fan says.
That's true. That is a fact, yeah.
And then Radic writes in and says, bless about the modding tools for Cyberpunk. There's our Red mod, our RED mod, free DLC for Cyberpunk 2077, which adds integrated support for installing and loading mods into the game and provides an official modding tool that will help you use, modify, and create your own experiences in the world of Cyberpunk 2077.
Man, you're going to be a little PC gamer.
Including custom sounds, woo! Animations, scripts, and more. Hell yeah. That's a good one. Love that. What Cyberpunk, right? What a game.
What a game.
That's a good game right there.
Cyberpunk game, the images for the back wall looking really sick. I'll tell you
let's
that
go.
Much.
Let's
tell
go.
You that much.
Tomorrow's hosts for KFGD are going to be me and Tim. Of course, this has been Kind of Funny Games Daily. I should say that there's no post show because instead we're going to live react to a fun trailer. And so stay tuned for that. But of course, each and every weekday live right here on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. We run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. Until next time, Game Daily.